Podcast update number 5.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. As it comes more and more into our personal lives, how are we going to cope with the techno peasants? I mean, this world, which was a fantasy for me 10 years ago, every 6 months becomes more a part of my own real life. You know, in the place where I do most of my writing, I now am just hooked into the world electronically,
right,
or
yeah.
would be if I could figure out how to make the bleep bleep modem work. But I'm technologically over my head already. The limit on me is not what you can do, it's what I can do.
I'm not sure you want to use your bleep bleep modem, or any modem for that matter, with receiving podcasts. But, you know, just check out our website, and I'm sure you'll figure it out.
For more information, visit CIPR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. You've dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Well, well, well. Welcome to Juicebox Radio. Don't touch that dial. You're exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR with your hosts, Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray. Or maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca. If you ever miss a show, you can download the podcast at juiceboxradio.com. The internet is proudly, profoundly transforming our culture and our world in ways that are kind of similar to the introduction of the telephone 100 years ago, wouldn't you say so, Julia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in addition to its function as an amazing source of information, the internet is leading a revolution in the connections of love, sex, and relationships.
although only a third of the people who visit online dating sites actually meet someone face-to-face, according to Love Online on MSN.com study Online Digital Dating in Canada. Most online daters are not looking for a sex partner or just to flirt, but for dates or for long-term relationships.
But you know what? I'd say that the process is rife with problems of finding someone who's actually being honest with who they are and what they like and what they're looking for. And that's often because people don't even know who they are, what they like, or what they're looking for. So maybe tonight's guest.
Maybe they'll have a different way of profiling and communicating about who you are and what you like. So let's welcome Sophie, who's going to be speaking about visual DNA and
it's universe. Called universe.com.
Universe.com. Yeah. It's like YouTube, hey, where it's got the U in front.
I think so.
So, Sophie.
Welcome.
Hi there. Hi.
So you were just saying that you have until 10:30 with us tonight, not 11.
Yeah, that's okay with you guys.
Well, it's a little bit challenging, but we have the show sort of organized for the hour, so we're going to try to pick your brain as fast as possible, I guess.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I thought that had been communicated.
No. So we'll do our best, and I guess Caroline and I are just going to have to ramble on for the second half.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us a little bit, obviously, what is visual DNA about? Then?
Well, visual DNA is really, it was the brainchild of a guy called Alex Wilcock, who really noticed that, you know, the thing about the internet, which is really interesting, is that even though so much of what happens online is visual, often when we, you know, when we profile ourselves, when we go on MySpace, when we go on Facebook, we're always sort of encouraged to write about ourselves using words. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to think about what you want to say about yourself with words, and you kind of have to edit yourself, and, you know, you get caught up in, like, how should I present myself and all those, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so he was like, you know, I think it would be really cool to understand people in an easier way, in a kind of universal way, is to cut through the words and actually just look at images and you know, get people to take very simple visual profiling modules, which, you know, like, find out about themselves, but just using images without having to use words, without having to get caught up in words.
Right. So who is this person you're saying came up with this idea?
His name is Alex Wilcock. He's the kind of the inventor of visual DNA and the man behind universe.com.
Okay. All right. So and then now tell us what universe.com is about.
Well, Universe is really the home of visual DNA. It's the place where you can go to take all these different modules. So we have modules. The current one that we're talking about a lot is the love module, mm-hmm. and that's why I guess it fits with what you're talking about, online dating, because it is really about finding what kind of a person you are in the love space and in relationships and when you're trying to find someone to be with or even in your current relationship. But then Universe is also home to many other modules which allow you to profile yourself using images, but in terms of any aspect of your life. So it could be health and travel, it could be music, it could be sport, it could be, we've got a kind of fun module on there at the moment, which is a look at the American election. So there's a whole range of modules, really, that are coming or that are currently up there.
And this is to help people understand a little bit better about who they are? And
it's partly about self-discovery and self-understanding. It's partly fun. It's just, like, really fun to do. You know, everyone likes to do a little, you know, those kind of surveys that you do online are fun and entertaining. Mm-hmm. But you can find something out about yourself. And when you do a module, you get some feedback, you know, telling you about the images that you've picked and what that says about you.
That's very, mm-hmm, that's very interesting. I actually did it today, just walked myself through the love module. And,
oh, yeah?
And then I discovered that you have this imagine.net, which looks like it's a little bit more developed than the Universe site. Looks a little bit like it's still kind of,
yeah,
you know, in development so this imagine.net, what's that about? That seems
Imagine
like
it was just the, to be honest, it was the original home site before Universe launched. So we're currently in the process of kind of porting everybody to Universe. So Imagine was where it started.
Okay.
And I think 7 million people took our visual DNA modules on Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've now moved onto Universe, and that Universe is going to be the home of visual DNA. So that's the place to go to, youuniverse.com. That's the home right now.
Right. Very cool. Well, I did walk myself through it, and I was actually...
And what love type were you? Because there are 7 different love types.
Yes.
What did you come out of? Do you mind saying?
I'm trying to remember what it was called, but...
Did it feel right?
It was a lot. Well, it was actually scarily accurate, and I was reading it to Caroline on the phone, and then I was just like going, "Oh, dude, this is intense. How accurate it was." And there's a part at Universe where it tells you to don't be shy, send it to your loved one or the person you're in a relationship with, and see, you know, what they think of it or how they are or whatever. And I was like, if my new whatever man in my life read this thing, he'd probably run screaming. So I think it had a purple front. Basically I'm totally
a purple front. Wistful Soul?
No. It was like Love Bug, but not really. It was like the love.
It was Love Magnet.
Love Magnet. Yes, I'm a Love Magnet.
That's what I am too.
I'm a Love Magnet.
And I can see that, and all our listeners could too.
Love Magnet is good. It's fun. It's the one who's kind of like really like kind of addicted to love, but in a good way.
I am.
Addicted to the highs and the, you know, like throws yourself in with like both feet and.
So it's just very interesting. What is your association with this site and this concept, Zofie?
Personally.
Yeah, or just professionally? Personally, sure.
Yeah, no, professionally, I've been working with Alex, who's the founder, basically since he came up with the idea. So for the last 5 years, really in developing the idea. Personally, I do a lot of the business strategy and stuff.
Okay.
So, and it's really, I'm also very much involved with a lot of the module development. So we work a lot with psychologists and psychotherapists, particularly with something like the Love Module, to really, you know, to make sure that we're not just kind of plucking things out of thin air. A lot of it, you know, it has a very sort of, you know, quite serious scientific grounding, but then we take that, but then we want it to be fun for people, you know. At the end of the day, it's kind of, if you're online, you want to do something that's kind of entertaining as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about finding that sort of balance, really.
So
how did you come up with the concept of visual DNA? You mentioned Alex did, but how did that come about?
Well, really, it was a sense of trying to find a way of looking at all we were looking at images and trying to understand how people responded to images, and there was a sense that really the response that someone has when they view an image, when you see something, you have a very instinctive and intuitive response, and it was an attempt to really try and capture that. Sorry, mm-hmm. I'm in a kind of a noisy place.
That's all right. So instinctive, sorry. Intuitive response to a visual representation of something. Yes, yeah.
But then what we then do is it's all about mapping the visual responses of everybody who does a module in order to understand how you relate to all the different images, but also to all the other people who are doing the modules, and that's called clustering.
Right.
And that basically means that when you do a module, we can then propose to you the people that you are most sort of closest to.
Right.
And the people that you might be, you know, maybe most likely to get along with, given your responses.
Right. So this tends to be sometimes a scientific show, and I'm wondering, how does Alex? Does he have any sort of background credentials? Do you, like, how did you guys learn about the psychology behind this? Or what is process?
There's a lot of science. We work with a whole range of people, actually. We work with psychologists, psychotherapists. We also have a number of people on the team who have experience in retail, kind of retail psychology, and in the process of what happens to people when they respond to visual stimulus as well, which is kind of interesting. So we've worked with those kind of people. Alex's background is in branding and also in design, and it's kind of like a very holistic sort of approach, really, basically, of people. But the, you know, the psychology for the Love Module particularly, the psychology and psychotherapy side is very, very interesting. I mean, there's been a lot of work done on that kind of thing, and, you know, it stretches back as far as the ancient Greeks who looked at these different, you know, came up with these different love types, and we've sort of worked from there with a couple of really leading London psychologists and psychotherapists to develop our own sort of mapping on that.
So they're from London. So people not necessarily listening to Juicebox Radio, we have most of our listenership is actually in bizarre countries all over the world. And
really?
Yeah, and then, of course, North America, we have a lot, thousands and thousands. So I don't know how much people are familiar with psychologists and psychotherapists in England, but so can you just name a few? Just curious.
I don't think I'm privy to
Okay, cool. No, I just like, I'm just all about, like, you know, verifying, just because it's, you know, there's so many people out there that say, that claim to be experts that, you know, and I took the test myself and felt that it was very accurate. And I think it looked, seemed really fun to do. And I was kind of getting addicted in there, and I was like spending a good deal of my afternoon kind of playing with the, with all the different sites and the different modules, as you call them. And I could see that it will be very successful. Universe.com, I think it has the potential of doing something very effective. And I think that not just because people are, you know, like Caroline's acting teacher, like you're always saying.
Yeah, my acting teacher used to always say that people receive 90% of their information from what they see and 10% from what they hear. And I was just curious if that, if you found this to be true.
Well, I think that, you know, a picture does, you know, it's a real cliche, but a picture paints a thousand words. You know, you look at an image and there's so much that you feel and that you emote from that, whereas a word, you know, maybe not so much. So I think that we've really found that the images is a really powerful way of people kind of drilling down into something that's almost pre-verbal, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, words are, in a sense, a kind of a like a prison, because you're so kind of, you can get so caught up in them.
Right.
So, you know, what we really want to do is also, the other thing is, you know, a lot of people, I think, actually just have trouble, you know, don't always find the right words, or maybe get, you know, don't enjoy that process of trying to find words that are right. And this is a really interesting thing, because it means you almost, it catches you a little bit unawares, I think. And so even you might edit yourself for yourself, you know what I mean? You might not even face up to the real you.
Right.
For yourself, and this is I think with this, you almost can't avoid it, because the pictures that you pick, it's so instinctive. It's like you don't have time. If you do it properly, you don't have time to think, what is the picture that I should pick if I wanted someone to think of me in a certain way? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You just pick the one that like jumps out at you.
Yeah.
And that's really, really interesting.
I think it does go to a real baseline aspect of yourself beyond what you might see as the truth, because it's something you just respond to on the base of your brain, like you're saying.
I'm just going to be devil's advocate here on that, because I know myself, when I actually do tests, if it's in a magazine, sometimes I'll actually look at the response at the end of it sometimes, where it's like, it's worth 2 points, and I'll go back and change my original response, because it's like, okay. Because when Julia told me that you could actually look at other people when you click onto their profile, and it actually show all the things that they'd picked, and it kind of made me aware. It's like, wow, I don't know, do I really want people to know that I picked whatever I chose?
Right.
Very personal information in some ways. Yeah.
So I was curious, how accurate is it if people are lying to themselves because they don't really want to be exposed in that way?
Like, I chose water as my favorite drink of choice, because honestly, my first choice would have been beer. But then I chose water, because I thought, well, if I had only one drink I could drink for the rest of my life, that's what it would be. And so I kind of went there, and I thought, well, that probably looks better if I had choose water than if I choose beer. But, you know.
Well, you know, I guess that's always the way, I guess. People will always, you can't guard against that. There will always be a sense in which certain people will always, you know, you'll always maybe choose to edit yourself a bit. But
I think, one of my questions in the second half of the show, which I guess we'll have to get to now, is really, Caroline and I were going to talk a little bit about, you know, how describing yourself, like you were saying as yourself, Sophie, describing yourself to others for them to learn about who you are, what you like, what kind of person and relationship that you might be. Those are really hard things to get to. And so I think that the universe.com and the visual DNA is really quite a powerful avenue towards that viewpoint inside of someone. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I know. I think it cuts through. I think it definitely cuts through some of that.
So I was thinking that online dating, for example, is like one of the biggest drawbacks I see, and one of the reasons I've never done it is because I don't think that people are really honest about who they are online. Caroline's had different experiences. We'll talk about this after you're finished with us. But she's had different experiences with this, but I'm afraid that I wouldn't be able to trust anything that people are saying. But my feeling after doing the visual DNA and the universe.com, sort of playing around with that, is that I thought it would be probably harder to lie.
I think the other thing is that we haven't really touched on so much is that also Universe offers you a lot more than just, you know, just doing the module and worrying about how you're presented to other people. Because actually, when you do the module, when you've done it, you get this feedback, which is quite personal and I think very accurate if you do the module accurately. But on top of that, you also get tips about love tips about how you should relate in your own relationship, or if you wanted to meet other people, the type of love type, you know, that would suit you. And then you also get products and web content and all kinds of things that are sort of like tailored for you. And the more modules you do, the more things are suggested to you, the more people are suggested to you, based on, you know, on the you that we've come to know through your visual DNA. So obviously it's in someone's interest if they're really kind of up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And on Universe for Keeps, you know, it's in your interest to do it as accurately as you can, because actually the more modules you do and the more you build your visual DNA as a user, the more that you're going to get like a really tailored experience, which is really exciting. You know, it's not like a kind of, not like search, you know, where you go on a well-known portal and you just search for things and you get a whole load of random stuff.
Right.
But it's actually really a finding experience where you are using, you know, you're using this very tailored personal profile to find things that are really interesting for you and, and relevant, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to hide your results from other people, where you could actually do all this testing and not have it where other people can look at your results?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I could. I would have to ask that. I actually, I'm not sure about that functionality.
So what? I guess it's just all out there. Go ahead, Caroline.
And the other thing I wanted to bring it back to, you'd mentioned earlier about the love types that the ancient Greeks had come up with a long time ago. I'm not familiar with those, so I wanted if you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really obvious ones. There's Eros. This is all off the top of my head because I'm not at my papers, but there's Eros, there's Agape, there's Storge, there's a whole range of them. I can't remember any more of the Greek names right now, but they're basically what they say is that the, you know, people behave differently in love and there are different types of love needs. So like the Eros would be something like the love magnet, like very a very fiery sort of, almost like addicted sort of love personality who's really into the physical side and the passionate, the romantic side.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd be someone who's more into the, you know, as we translated her, rock steady, which brings in some of the Greek storge, I think, which is the kind of, more steady, more homemaking, more rational, perhaps. Basically, we've incorporated that and then, some other psychotherapeutic approaches to understanding love and people's needs.
Right.
And, brought all those together, really, in our own interpretation. Because also the ancient Greeks, they had their types, but they, you know, perhaps they weren't completely sort of tailored to the world that we live in as well. So we had to make a few adjustments.
Right. Well, okay, so this sounds like it was very sort of has been very well developed and has a very intelligent background and using a good combination, like you're saying, holistic in its foundation, which is awesome. What is the purpose of this whole site of Universe and what are the intentions that you have for?
Just that really that it becomes a destination site for people where they can store their visual DNA and they can do as many modules as they want. There'll be new fun modules every week, so kind of lighthearted modules that are just done, you know, for entertainment. And then there'll also be sort of elements where you can really find out more about yourself. So something like the travel module is really interesting because you're going to be able to come on and do a module which looks at your preferences when it comes to travel and holidays and all that kind of stuff. And that'll be great for then, you know, being suggested the types of vacation that you might like to go on and stuff. It's kind of really interesting. And then, you know, we go into the idea that ultimately you might be suggested products that would be interesting to you. So we've done this in England. We've done a kind of project with a company called MyDeco, which is a website that specializes in furniture and home decoration. And users, when they go onto the MyDeco website, the first thing that they do is a Universe module, which basically builds up an understanding of the kind of home deco and, you know, like visual environment that they like to be in at home. And basically using that, then this filters the person's experience when they come to search for furniture and home styling on the MyDeco website. So in other words, you know, like you go on a site and you search for like red sofa, but you might get like a load of red sofas that, you know, really aren't interesting to you. But if you search for red sofa and we knew that you liked really modern or minimalist or traditional or whatever, you know, it just basically means that what you find is so much more tailored to you because there's a real understanding of your needs and your taste.
So it's really good.
And your life stage as well, you know, what kind of home you live in, you know, do you have kids, are you, you know, do you entertain a lot? You know, whatever, all that kind of stuff.
So it's really good for sales and marketing in terms
of
that.
Yeah, and for the user in that sense.
Well, I think for the user, but I'm just thinking, I mean, I'm a businesswoman, and wow, it's just occurred to me that this visual DNA, the companies that would be, creating their marketing to certain, like, the kind of information that you're collecting on people could potentially be incredibly valuable to sell to different companies for all kinds of things, not just the deco, like you're saying, but the traveling companies and everything. And that kind of data that you're collecting on people with their email addresses and countries that they're in and stuff, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, this could be a huge moneymaker for you guys. And I'm just wondering, do you guys have because Facebook is, for example, very open, like pretty much when you go in there, they can sell your information to anyone. Are you guys also doing that?
No, not at all. At the moment, Universe is completely about the consumer experience. And we want to deliver people a really exciting online experience, and we want them to find things that are relevant to them. But it's not really about selling that data right now. That's just not, that isn't what it's about. It's very much about creating a destination site where people want to come. And, you know, it's kind of like evolving social networking, really. It's like it's like the next stage of that, frankly.
Evolving social networking. Huh. All right.
How old do you have to be, like, to be allowed to be on the site?
I believe it's 18, but I'm not completely sure.
I think I saw it, and it's when I had to sign it, but it said to 13. Verify that I was 13 years old or
older. Oh,
really?
Okay,
And I was like, wow.
We just wanted to double check about that, and their question was, how do you protect kids then from being on site? And if you can't protect the profile in terms of that, just from people who are pedophiles, et cetera, from checking out other people's information?
Yeah, I have to say that that's not a side of the business that I'm involved with, but I do know that the people in the business that are involved with that are really up on sort of the latest approaches to that, and I wouldn't feel comfortable answering that question.
Right.
Obviously, when that's something that a business does, then it's clearly, you know, I mean, we are clearly involved in those kind of questions all the time, and that's I know that the people in the legal department of the business and who deal with those kind of issues all the time have been extremely aware from the off that that's something that we have to be aware of. From the, it's sort of basic, really.
Yeah, no, that's
great. I wouldn't be comfortable answering questions in the detail of that because it's not really my area.
Right.
You know, I'm much more on the creative side.
So why are you in North America? Why are we so graced with you being on our Western seaboard, so you're able to call in at 10 p.m. and you're not in England where it's probably 5 in the morning or something ridiculous?
Yeah, no, well, but bits of other business that I've been doing as well, so
brought me out here. Oh, that's fabulous. I hope you're not too jet-lagged.
No, I'm fine. I've been here for a couple of weeks. So.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I had a couple more questions, but I want to be respectful of your time. What is this now? Was there anything else, Caroline? We can squeeze in one more question.
There is one thing I actually want to double check in terms of what are the results that you're getting, kind of testimonials from people who are using it, as in particular for the loved one. I'm just curious in terms of
Obviously I would say this, but kind of really amazing. Like a lot of people got, the thing that people do the module and they're like, oh my God, it's really me.
Totally.
What about the social networking?
And even really cynical people are like, oh, wow, what? And then the other thing is, like, very much in terms of just people find that, connecting with people and actually finding that a really interesting and exciting way to do that, I guess. There's a lot of interactivity on the site at the moment, which is great. You know, a lot of people making connections, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, it's not just, I would say that it's really, I'm in a relationship and my partner's done it and I've done it. And it's kind of, it's really fun when you're in a relationship as well. It's kind of interesting to, it's another angle on kind of where you're both at, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good way to open up the lines of communication about, where you think that love is for you right now, for example, that slew of images that's offered to answer that question. I mean, if you're in a relationship and one of you has the diamond ring slipping on the finger image and the other one has the two of you, like, painting your first apartment together or something, who knows? Like, that sounds like it's kind of synchronous. But if the other one's got, like, the explosion fire picture or whatever.
Yeah, the car picture of lots of women all around him.
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, it might be like, well, I think we're on a different page. We should probably talk about this. Yeah, it might be something good to check in every 6 months to do the visual DNA. Well, this is fabulous, and I really appreciate your time, Sophie.
No problem. Thank you for talking to me. That's very nice.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add in before we close off?
No, that's great. It's just been good to talk to you, and yeah, I would encourage people to have a go and see what they think, and you know, get in touch with us at Universe, you know, because everything's still in development, and it's great to hear what people think.
Yeah, so it's Universe, and it's YOU, and then
youuniverse.com. Yeah.
Universe, exactly. Thank
All
you
right,
so
bye.
Much.
Take care.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I think it's that time we're going to take a quick short break.
A quick short break, that's right. It's my turn to talk. You, we have to tell you, you are listening to Juice Box Radio on CITR, and that's 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Keep that dial locked. Caroline and I are going to be back after this with more on online dating, some of the crazy stats out there. Is it a way to go or not when it comes to finding your partner? We have some interesting stats. And we welcome your calls during this time especially. So that's 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we'll be right back.
CITR Podcast Update #1. Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. Without getting too technical, tell me how what you're working on is different from what's available to me right now.
So right now, if you want to listen to your favorite CITR program, you need to be listening to it on your radio live or streaming over the internet live. But with CITR Podcasts, you'll be able to download your favorite show and listen to it whenever you want, on your computer or on your MP3 player.
CITR Podcast Update #1.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. Without getting too technical, tell me how what you're working on is different from what's available to me right now.
So right now, if you want to listen to your favorite CITR program, you need to be listening to it on your radio live or streaming over the internet live. But with CITR podcasts, you'll be able to download your favorite show and listen to it whenever you want, on your computer or on your MP3 player.
I'm just thinking about that.
I know, it's pretty rad.
For more information, visit CITR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back.
And you're listening to Juicebox. That's right. We're the sex experts around here.
And relationship
gurus.
Dating experts.
And I'm even more aware of who I am in relationship now that I've done the visual DNA test, the love test, with youuniverse.com. And I think we have a caller. So
get him on.
Hello, caller.
Hi, you're on Juicebox.
Hey, am I pulling your fat out of the fire again?
I think our second guest has arrived.
Have you ever called into Juicebox Radio?
I'm not saying.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, probably, unless you go back in your records far enough.
Okay, well.
I might find a heavy breather. That might have been me.
Well, I'm really grateful for you calling in, Sean. We'll just call you Sean. How about that? No one needs to know your last name, but I know that you write for Lava Life, and you also write for some other
publications.
Dating, and I think we met through an article you were writing about me. So
that could be. Well, it wasn't all about you, but you did play an integral part.
I did. And so thank you for rescuing our butts, considering we only had half an hour guests instead of an hour. So we're going to have to do juice berries at the end of the show, Caroline, because we don't want to waste Sean's time right now. But if you could just
valuable drinking time.
Exactly. So 10 minutes of your time. We have some stats here. Apparently,
according to loveonline.msm.com study, online digital dating in Canada, this study says that almost 1.2 million Canadians have visited an online dating site. 63% of the people who have met face-to-face have slept with somebody they met online, which, according to Julianne, no surprise.
No surprise that many more men have had sex with their first encounter than the women have. But I always ask the question, if so many more men... How many more men have had sex with women than I'm thinking, who are they having sex with?
Exactly.
Kind of like, what are these stats? I never understand that. Anyway.
I have an alibi.
Really?
Okay, so what do you think about those? Like, can you tell us a little bit about what you think about online dating and its success, potential success that it, you know, people actually meeting and getting what they want?
Well, it's a huge industry, and at some point, I don't know, I don't think it's any substitute for seeing someone, meeting someone. I think it's designed, it's good for people who are ready, who want to settle, you know, and just want to get hitched.
Settle
and
down.
It's also good for players who can kind of master the art, if there is such a thing. I think it serves a purpose. I think if you're just out of a relationship, you've been in for a long time, and you're kind of freaked out about getting back to the dating scene, I think it's kind of baby steps for that. But
okay.
I think it has its uses. I don't think it's, you know, the be-all and end-all.
Yeah. No, those are all very good points, I think. What do you think about people's ability to be honest about who they really are, or if they're even able to describe who they are really accurately at all? Like, that's a challenge for people, don't you think? I mean...
Well, certainly online it's a lot easier to dissemble and pretend you're someone you're not. And I think that's the attraction for a lot of people, is you can kind of role-play.
Hide.
I mean, that's what all... hide or role play, you know, pretend you're someone you're not. And,
like the avatars, like you can be, I could be a black man.
It's your single avatar, right? Like, who do you want to be?
I can be blonde.
Ideally in the dating world. You know, there's probably people out there who just pretend to be someone and never actually get together with anyone so that they can just pretend the whole time they're online. I mean, I don't know anyone like that, but I'm sure it's a temptation for some people.
But then when you actually go to meet the person in real life, like, obviously there's going to be a huge discrepancy, a huge problem there, right? Like,
I
don't think those people...
There might be some people who never even take it that far to the initial meeting.
Yeah.
But for those who are really out and out, you know, I'm 6'2" and you're actually 5'4" and I've got lots of hair, but you're actually bald or whatever. I mean, you can't expect there's going to be a second date out of that.
or even more than a 15-minute coffee by the time, you know, all things are said and done.
It might be one of those situations where the guy's like, well, I'm sure she'll see through to the real me. You know, like wishful thinking big time, right?
Maybe. So, okay, what about this stat that says that 60% have formed one long-term relationship? Out of the 1.2 million Canadians that have visited, 60% formed one long-term relationship, 27% met someone they considered a partner, and 3% eventually got married. Have you heard of different stats than that around, like, this was a couple years ago now?
No, I haven't heard anything different. I'm hearing those for the first time, but it makes sense to me. Who knows how that compares to real life, I guess. But,
yeah.
You know, just random sampling of people I know or friends of friends or whatever, there seems to be lots of people who've hooked up to Lava Life and, you know, or any website. I don't need to name anyone in particular, but...
Plenty of Fish.
And I guess...
Harmony.
Plenty of Fish, which is out of Vancouver, right? You know that.
No, I didn't.
We didn't.
Yeah, it's a guy in Vancouver who runs that.
I'll have to have him on as a guest.
Well, now I know where to go for my online dating if I ever do approach it. I've never done it. I'm so scared of the crazy people.
There's some scary ones, but there's some good ones out there, too.
There's crazy people everywhere. I mean, I'm in Gastown right now in front of 6 acres, and just within my vision, I can see 3 crazy people. So I mean,
now I know where you are. I'm going to stalk you.
There's only 4 on the street, so there you go.
That's Gastown, but yeah.
Do you think online dating is good for people who are so busy in this day and age that sometimes it saves time, so then that way they can kind of scan and see if there's somebody that looks attractive to them, so then they can save time, and if they see that they're cute, it's easier than going to the bar when they're spending a little bit more time at work?
Yeah, I mean, like, you're probably saving money, too, and buying all those drinks for, you know, those nights when you go out and you buy all these drinks, and, I mean, you never even screw up the courage to talk to anyone but the friends you're with or whatever, and you end up spending... $50-$60. I mean, you may as well go online if that's your ultimate goal. Well,
you never spent $50 or $60 on any of the dates that we went on.
Well, and it also protects you from beer goggles too, doesn't it?
But, you know,
beer goggles
probably adds up to $50 or $60, but yeah.
Sorry, what did you say?
Nothing.
You guys. Okay, no, I can't help but flirt with him. He's so damn cute. All right.
Do you think one of the reasons why people date online is because of the fact people used to meet, as you mentioned earlier, from who you know? And sometimes people used to meet at work, and with all the sexual harassment stuff, that people are afraid to flirt sometimes in real life?
That's a good point. I never thought of that. But, yeah, I mean, there is this political correctness hanging over everything. That said, I mean, people are people, and there's still going to be, like, workplace misunderstandings, not to mention any names, receptionists, et cetera.
Is she going to be listening to ever? No. Just send her the podcast.
That sounds like a story that I haven't heard.
To go back to one of your previous points, I think it is a good time saver for people who are busy or just don't want to go to the bar.
You are so funny.
How would you recommend for people to meet if they are meeting from an online date in real life, like afterwards, like they've met online and they want to actually take it the first step?
Do it quickly and make it short.
Make the date short,
and even if you like the person, it's good, you know, to keep it short. And then if you like the person, just have a second date, and also do it as soon as you can from the initial interest, because the longer you take before you go out on the date, the more your expectations grow, and the more likely you are to be disappointed.
Okay, well, I like the idea of making it quick. But I had an experience with this man on speed dating, because Caroline and I did, if you look back on our podcast, you'll see that we did a speed dating, a couple of examples, and I went out with this one chiropractor, his name is Michael, and I thought
we weren't going to name names.
He was like a canned date. It was like a canned date in every way possible. It was like a half an hour date, maybe 45 minutes. And, he said a bunch of stuff that seemed like it was kind of well versed and rehearsed and practiced. And I kind of was, and then he was like, the date was going really, really well. The conversation was flowing, everything was great, and then he was like, I'm gonna go home and have a nap. And I'm like, why? He's like, well, you know, I'm kind of tired, I'm gonna go to the gym later, so I'm gonna go have a nap right now. And I was like, but the date's going really well, we've only been together for 45 minutes, what's your rush? Like, let's go have a tea, because we had lunch. And he's like, well,
line on me.
And he was like, well, you know, I just don't, you know, I think it's just really important to keep dates sort of short. And even though it's going well, whatever. And I was like, okay, whatever. Well, he takes another girl out who I happen to know from a totally different speed dating night. And we were talking about this Michael chiropractor guy, and apparently he did the exact same date with her and said the exact same things, and he even used that he was going home and take a nap. And she found it very offensive that he would cut off the date early to go have a nap, and that, wow. So, yeah, keeping it short's good, but I think going with the flow is also really important if you're, like, having a good connection. Anyway, I just had to get that out there.
But see, how good could the connection have been if he's doing the exact same date with other people?
I guess I wasn't paying very good attention. I thought it was all about me. That's probably half my issue and why I'm so single. Anyway. Okay. Projection City. All right. The show has become Julia's show again. So,
What else would you advise?
Yes, Sean, please give us some more advice.
What do you want? What else? Where do you want to go?
How do you make it successful? How do you make a date successful when you go out?
After you've met online dating. So you go quickly and you
meet. You go
if
for
I
the
knew that, I really don't know. Make it successful? I don't know. I guess.
How do you get a second date?
Well, I still think keeping it short is a good idea, because then you don't try to talk about anything but work, because that will force you to talk about interesting things.
Okay.
And don't talk about family. Don't talk about all that stuff, that resume type stuff.
Okay.
You know, and it's that's the hardest thing when you're out on a first date getting to know a person, but I think that could really make or break a date. Because if you don't talk about that crap, then you're forced to talk about real things that might actually get you somewhere close to getting to know the person, because everything else is just fast.
So are you talking about being in the moment and just enjoying, like, whatever's happening around you, as opposed to talking about your past and your family and where you came from and what you did for work?
Stories, right?
Right.
It's so tempting to go into old stories when you bring up that stuff.
Define real things. Like, are you talking just don't go into your monologues? Is that what you're referring to?
Don't fall back on your old tried and true.
Like the Michael?
Me or yeah, just the resume type stuff. Like you're going for a job interview.
So the real things are what's in the moment?
It's hard to define. I guess it's anything other than
the usual resume
type
stuff. Okay.
I mean, whether you're talking about your surroundings or I don't know, experiences that don't have to do with work or family or...
Maybe the things that really excite you about life.
Yeah.
Things that interest you. Except for if it's like BDSM or something, and then the person...
Should we talk about sex on the first date?
Yeah, should you talk about sex on the first date?
The guy should take the cue from the girl, I think, when it comes to talking about sex on the first date.
If we're in a hetero situation.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I forgot who your audience is. And, no, I'm kidding. I don't know who your audience is. Or the guy could, you know, maybe make some illusion, but, you know, you don't want to go there too quickly on a first date, because
it's hard for me not to talk about.
You want the other person to be as comfortable as possible, right?
I don't know about that. That's not my MO, but I'm sure you probably understand that. Okay, so, well, Sean, I really appreciate you taking time out of your drinking time and talking to us tonight on Juicebox, and have a good time there at Six Acres. I wish I was there.
I wish you were, too.
Aw,
thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your show, you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was... I want to say his whole name because he's a good little journalist. Okay.
He's a wonderful journalist. He writes a lot about dating all around town.
He writes a lot about music. He writes a lot about a lot of things. Okay, so let's do our little juice berries, because we have some good juicy stuff. And I think maybe
we'll start with
the sex stuff, the stuff that's directly about sexuality maybe first.
Since you're itching for that, I'll let you go. But I was going to actually say who actually did the song at the break.
Oh, thank you.
Which is Video Killed the Radio Star, in case you weren't singing along like Julia and I were in the box. And it's by the Bungles.
Yeah, fabulous song. We were both going like crazy, but then we had to sort of rescue ourselves, so we turned it down again.
Which
really good song.
Sean ended up being Prince Charming.
Sean was Prince Charming tonight.
It was quite lovely.
So Kundalini dance is one of the most transformative, purifying your emotional body, your physical body. I've been doing the series for a long time, for a couple of years now. Luna Ravenchild in Vancouver does them and you can find out lots of information about kundalinidance.com, kundalini-dance.com. But they are doing this really cool sacred alchemical sexuality, which is a workshop for women only, but they also do a full series, which just started this past Monday in Vancouver. And you can do... There's this reclaiming your power, opening your body as love, purifying your emotional body, integrating positive life change, etc. There's a May 2nd to 4th, and the original creator, Leola Annatar, is coming from Australia to do this workshop, and I think it's going to be really powerful. You can register online with ecstasisdance.com, but if you just Google Kundalini Dance, you'll see as well. Ecstasis is a little hard to spell. Okay, and they're doing a three-part series on women's sexuality, which is May 14th, 21st, and June 9th. And this is incredibly inexpensive, this particular sexuality series. And it's, I think, going to be a really cutting-edge and transformational practice. And I would love to go, but it's obviously on our show night. So it's on Commercial Drive in Vancouver. Again, find out more about it from Ecstasis Dance. And that is ekstasisdance.com or kundalini-dance.com. Either one, whichever you can find your way. I love it. I'm so excited. I'm in the next series. I'm doing it again. We did the root chakra on Monday night. So
that's great.
Doing the sex chakra this coming Monday, but this is a whole other thing as well, the sacred alchemical sexuality workshop. I highly recommend checking it out. I would be there if I could be.
That sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
On another note, and on the other end of the spectrum, Sin City, produces some of the best fetish nights in town. They're going to be hosting round two of the Carnival of Kink, where tantalizing fetish, yes, and costume ideas of all types are welcome, as always, but where harlequin, circus, and carnival outfits are highly encouraged. And there's some carnival decorations and carnival-themed photo booth, carnival and burlesque shows are going to be all adding to the atmosphere.
Crazy.
And the round one of this was on April 12th. So on the 26th, you can check out round two, which is going to be really fun. It's going to be at Richards and Richards, and it should be really good. So that's cool. Sin City. That's going to be really cool.
How do you find out about Sin City? Do we know? Have any idea how to just Google Sin City, Vancouver, I guess. Okay. Next
is the third annual. We're holding, should we get a drum roll on this for Vancouver International Burlesque Festival, April 24th to May 4th.
Woo!
And this festival has exploded into a 10-day extravaganza featuring dozens of performers nationally and internationally. And it's going to be presented in venues across Vancouver, which include comedy, music, art, film, workshops, and spoken word in a creative and varied celebration of all things burlesque.
Yahoo! April 24th to May 4th. So exciting. At vanburlesquefest.com. And there is one particular one that we want to comment about, which is the Banquet of Broads, because Brunette Blonde is apparently going to be doing fabulous performance.
I think they're going to be really fantastic.
I'm going to Banquet of Broads for sure, and that's on the Thursday night,
I think. And that's at the Wise Hall, and you can get tickets online already. Malaika Millions will be in there, and Jenny Magenta as well. And we're actually on April 30th, we're going to have some burlesque performers on the show, so we will...
Oh, yes, in 2 weeks' time.
We'll surprise you about who that is, but I think we may hear some voices from Screaming Chicken. And perhaps we might have Malaika on.
All we know is it's going to be a fabulous show, and they're going to be so excited because they're going to be in the middle of the Burlesque Fest and be able to talk a lot about really exciting things that are happening and things to come. So, and then, of course, speaking of guests, we have another guest coming, Dr. Susan Stryker, who's going to be coming and speaking about transgendered people, transgendered studies, really interesting topics. She's actually doing a, what do you call those guest things when professors come from other universities around the world and they come and do like a year at another university. I can't remember what they're called, but she's doing that at SFU, and she's sort of heading this conference that's happening May 1st to 3rd coming up. So she's going to be our guest next week talking about...
I almost want to say artist in residence, but that's not quite right.
Yeah, no, it is a residency of some kind. Anyway, and then I think also Brunette Blonde might be at this conference, which is going to have entertainment aspects as well, educational, workshopping, etc. But that's
all
May...
about transgendered at SFU.
Yeah, SFU.
May the 1st to the 3rd.
I think that'll be really cool.
And tonight, after the show, if you want to check out Julia and I, you can come.
If there was video, you'd see how fancy we were dressed tonight. And we're not just dressed fancy to sit around and look at each other, but because we're going out tonight after our little show tonight.
We're
going
to be heading to Bar None, which is the opening party for Vancouver Fashion Week, which the shows start tomorrow. You can come check it out. There's going to be all sorts of shows going on at the Chapel Arts Center. And that's going to be at vanfashionweek.com. And what makes it really cool is there's going to be a fundraiser booth for Beauty Night, which helps sex workers and other other women who are marginalized get off the street with all sorts of really wonderful programming. And so you can get your hair and makeup done by donation there and give lots of money because it is going to Beauty Night. It's for a great cause. So I hope
think that's good for juice berries. We had quite a few. They were good. There's lots of stuff going on in this city, and actually a friend of mine I had dinner with tonight just said that she's sort of moving to Victoria because she's so tired of, like, having to book people 2 weeks in advance if she wants to hang out with somebody, that there's always so much going on in the city that everybody is just strapped and taxed, and, yeah, it's exciting and fun-paced and fast-paced.
Interesting.
But it's just intense, and so I don't blame her. There's a part of me that also would like to kind of move to a quieter city where there isn't so much going on and not so many people to visit and booking 2 weeks in advance, because it does get difficult.
I find it interesting because I don't book 2 weeks in advance. I usually don't commit because of the fact I want to see what the best offer is because there's so much going on. So I wait and check all my you know, press releases, my Facebook, etc. And I wait and wait and wait unless it's an event I'm planning myself.
And then you end up becoming one of those people who's really annoying because you can never commit to anything or nobody can ever really see you unless they just follow you around on Facebook.
It's such a Vancouver thing, my darling.
Well, I think we're going to wrap up the show because this visual DNA, All About Love, I want to give our listeners time to go and check that out at universe.com. And visual DNA, I think it's a wave of the future. I love it. I think it's cool.
And write to us about all your show ideas. And mm-hmm. if you have done any online dating or checking out universe.com, and tell us what you think and if it's working. And we want to hear about it. So write to us at julia@juiceboxradio.com.
And we'll be back next week with Dr. Susan Stryker and Transgendered Studies. So in the meantime, if you have any recommendations for a show topic or questions about anything to do with sex or relationships, please feel free to email me, julia@juiceboxradio.com. Now, I wanted to say quickly before we close the hour, I forgot to say that I booked my tickets to go to Guelph Sexuality Conference. And that means that Julia and Juicebox Radio is going to benefit even more from me learning to be a sex counselor, a sex therapist. It was a very hard program to get into, so I was finally accepted, and I'm going to have all the more letters after my name, which is powerful, but it's also really cool to learn how to be a therapist, because everyone always assumes that I am a sex therapist, and I'm not, so I will hopefully become one after my trip to Guelph.
I hope you will be, too.
Beautiful university there, and I will be going for 2 weeks, so Caroline's going to be taking good care of the show while I'm away, which is so, so kind of you, very generous. I'll be away. In
no
June.
Worries.
The first week and second week of June. Thanks, and everybody.
Thank you.
And next up, Hans Claus's Misery Hour.
Who's a very sexy man to be miserable with.
I changed my name.
Oh, you changed your name of the show? What's the show called now?
The show is called Misery Hour, but my name is Hans von Claus.
Hans what?
Sounds better, a little bit more Nazi.
Hans von Claus?
Oh, I thought you said Hans Fuck Claus, and I was like, yes, thank you, please.
Okay, I really, okay, it's still called Misery Hour, or what is it called?
Same way.
Miserable?
My name is different. My name is Hans von Claus.
Hans von Claus.
Von Claus.
Sounds more Nazi. I can't believe that came out of your mouth, Marion. Okay.
came out of your mouth.
You look really sexy. I think he just said that.
Did he really?
Okay, anyway.
Oh, he's got shoes on. I don't know if it's from the Army and Navy shoe sale, which we forgot to mention to people. For those of you who have a shoe fetish like I do.
Tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
I'll be back next week.
Ah, yeah. You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.